For decades, it's been ingrained in Americans that in order to be healthy, we would have to cut out major food groups or categories. Think the fat-free era. Red meat is bad. Cut out salt. Only eat cholesterol-free. No carbs. But obviously, none of that seems to be working. There has been one organization since the beginning, though, that cut through the noise, saying this isn't going to be politically correct, but you can eat it all. What matters is where it comes from. Who said that? The Weston A. Price Foundation. They believe in a return to the way our ancestors ate. Before big agriculture and giant corporations controlled our farms and grocery stores, eating seasonally, locally, a nutrient-dense diet. This is the way we ate before our nation became riddled with illness. The Weston A. Price Foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. They believe in accurate nutrition instruction, organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling on our food products, prepared parenting and nurturing therapies, and specific goals include establishment of universal access to clean, certified raw milk, let's go, baby, across the country. And they want an all-out ban on the use of soy formula for infants. Now, not today, but hopefully this season, I will dedicate an entire episode to the subject of baby formula alone. Today, though, we're talking to someone I love and admire so much from the Weston A. Price Foundation. She's certified by the Institute of Integrative Nutrition as a health coach. She hosts their top charting health and wellness podcast called Wise Traditions. If you have not jumped on the Wise Traditions train, welcome aboard. I am obsessed. It's one of my top three most listened to podcasts last year. She's going to teach us how to stay healthy in a toxic world. She's going to give clarity on which foods will truly nourish you and your family, how exactly to eat a nutrient-dense and ancestral diet with easy, simple recipes and inexpensive grocery bills, and something I'm personally excited for. I'm going to pick her brain on her favorite and least favorite wellness trends from the last year. You see, she interviews like the coolest people in the health and wellness space every week, so she is just a wealth of knowledge on this subject. If you didn't know, every episode of The Spillover is available to watch on The Real Alex Clark YouTube channel. I have also seen an outpouring of five-star reviews the last few weeks. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And if you've never left one, please do. That really helps the show immensely. Get your notebook out and welcome Hilda Labrada Gore to The Spillover. I really don't fangirl much over my guests. I mean, everybody I have on this show, I handpick and I obviously admire them. But Hilda, your podcast has meant so much to me. I have recommended it to everyone I know.
Wow.
Love it.
That's amazing.
I've learned so much from you. I just can't even tell you. Everybody's like, well, how do you know all this stuff, Alex? Mostly from Hilda. So what is your expertise for those who aren't familiar? And what do you cover on your podcast, Wise Traditions?
So I started out in this field of alternative health as a fitness professional, actually, at first. So I just was all about training people to work out several times a week and stay strong. And I thought that's all it takes for wellness until I met Sally Fallon Morrell and heard about the Weston A. Price Foundation, which is a mouthful, and we'll get into what all that means. But basically, I realized there's so much more to health than just movement, and even just than movement and nutrition. So that's why I go by Holistic Hilda, because I like to explain that health is multifaceted and we can approach it from a number of ways for optimal health.
You weren't always in good health, though. Tell us about the health issues that you had as a child that kind of really started your journey without you knowing.
Absolutely. So my health journey starts before I was born, actually. My mother was, I would say she was nutrient deficient. She didn't have enough vitamin A. And when you don't have enough vitamin A in your diet, when you're expecting, it can lead to birth defects. And I was born with a birth defect. And actually, the doctors suspected that I would be before I was born. And they told her, you should just not have this baby. And my mom was like, no, I'm going to have this baby. And I'm so grateful, needless to say, that she did. And when I was first born, there was nothing apparent to the naked eye. And then when the doctors listened to my heart, they detected a murmur. So they found a small hole in my heart between the lower two ventricles. And they monitored me over the course of a number of years. And they were like, if we don't perform open heart surgery, this kid isn't going to live very long. As a matter of fact, Alex, my parents don't have any baby pictures of me. I think because they thought I wasn't going to make it, actually. It's kind of sad to think about. I was like, was I going to be that quickly erased? But anyway, the truth is they love me very much. And when I was 9 years old, I had open heart surgery. And after that, I was given a new lease on life. The doctors are like, you can do whatever you want. Before that, they were like, kind of got to be careful. We don't know how that hole is going to affect the oxygenation of your blood and all this. So after that, I could do whatever I wanted. And I was like, oh my gosh, what do I want to do? Well, the first thing I wanted to do, honestly, was to thank God, because I felt like he spared my life. It could have been so much worse. I might not have even made it, right? So I wanted to thank God. That was the first thing. And the second thing was, I wanted to help other people to be as strong as possible, even as I wanted to be as strong as possible. So I started working out, and that's how I got into this whole thing.
The really unique thing is that your podcast, Wise Traditions, is produced by the Weston A. Price Foundation. So my podcast is produced by Turning Point USA. So that's how, you know, that's what that means when an organization produces your podcast. What is it that you believe and the Weston A. Price Foundation believes about food and nutrition that is countercultural to the message that we have traditionally gotten about food in America?
Okay. I want to start with a story. So a dear friend of mine, when I was this gym rat, just working out all the time and helping other people stay strong as well, a dear friend of mine got chronic fatigue and actually started having issues with heavy metal toxicity and all these things. She just was spiraling down, and conventional medicine had no answers for her. And she was the one that met Sally Falamirel at a health fair. And she said to me, Hilda, this woman is glowing with health. And she handed me her book, Nourishing Traditions. And she said, you would do well to listen and pay attention to this too, because I thought it was all about working out. I didn't know nutrition had anything to do with good health. And my friend at the time had been experimenting a little bit with diets, and she even started getting into macrobiotics. And literally her skin was the color of a carrot because she was eating so many carrots. She was orange. And Sally, to her credit, never said, like, you're a little orange, my friend. She just said, read my book. So then my friend Lisa said, Hilda, you should read the book. And I was blown away. Alex, this isn't just a cookbook. It really is pointing to the wisdom of indigenous people groups around the world for nourishing ourselves well, for optimal health. And so this is when I realized, oh my gosh, not only Sally Falamirel, but the whole Weston A. Price Foundation is based on healthy food and farming and the healing arts. And they're very much alternative to the conventional wisdom. Sally calls them the diet dictocrats. You know, the people that are trying to tell you, don't eat meat and eat crickets and and low fat is the way to go. And you would
cholesterol
do well.
Cholesterol, yes. Like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
All those things. Cholesterol is bad for you and you're going to have a heart attack. That's a heart attack on a plate. And all these things are just words. They're not the truth. And so when I found Nourishing Traditions, Sally's book, and the Weston A. Price Foundation, I was like, I thought of that Bible verse that says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Like the truth just shines like a beacon on a hillside. You know, I was like, oh, this is right. And so I didn't mind pivoting my whole family, which I had to do, from like Kix cereal in the morning or Quaker oatmeal with the little dinosaurs. I don't know how they did.
Oh my gosh, I ate that.
You know what I'm talking about? Totally. The little candies in there.
Yep.
I mean, I was doing the best I could, and I would try not to put all the sugar in that oatmeal, but I was just not realizing how messed up it was. And so the Wise Traditions, I like to call the Weston A. Price Foundation the Wise Traditions kind of group, because that's easier on the tongue. But these Wise Traditions helped me nourish my family in a way I had never done before. Alex, my kids used to come home from school and they'd be like, we want a snack. Okay, that's normal, right? You know, 7, 9. I mean, I have 4 kids, so it was like 3, 5, 7, and 9. They all wanted snacks all the time. I was like, okay, here you go. I'd give them an apple or something. And then they'd be like, we want another snack. So I'd give them pretzels, you know, and we want another snack. And I was like, for my 7th snack, you know, why do you guys want so many snacks? And then I realized, oh, I was only giving them carbs. Like, they need protein and fat. They need foods that are nutrient dense. That's actually one of the key principles of the Wise Traditions diet, is nutrient density. And we can get into all that, but I guess I'm just saying, turning just a little bit, but actually it might've been a 180, from the conventional wisdom of low fat and all that stuff to nourishing foods that have served humanity since the beginning of time was a win-win-win. My family's health went up. My kids stopped, you know, hassling me for snacks. And we were all so much happier.
Well, exactly what you're describing was my life. So I was born in the 90s and grew up in a family primarily processed food. What I was eating primarily only processed food until the last like year and a half, 2 years, when I totally was radicalized and changed my mind on all of this and then discovered Weston A. Price Foundation, that has just solidified my views and taught me so much. So what you're describing is like always needing to snack and like, well, my kids are always hungry. What are we supposed to eat on the go and all these things?
Yes.
It's so crazy because what Sally and what the Weston A. Price Foundation have been talking about for decades is that if you eat these nutrient dense meals, you're not going to be hungry for these snacks constantly. And I was that kid. Goldfish, pretzels, yes. Teddy Grahams, Lunchables, you know, Capri Suns, Kool-Aid jams or whatever those were called. That was my entire diet. And yeah, always starving, always sick, always tired, no energy as a kid or an adult.
Well, and the good news is groups like yours and the Weston A. Price Foundation are getting this message out. And so, yeah, we were talking about kombucha. We were talking about ferments. We were talking about organ meats, all these things.
Bone broth.
Before they came into vogue. And now I go into a Safeway and they're selling kombucha. And there's a little thing of bone broth. And I'm like, what's happening?
No, it's the craziest thing because, so I thought when I first discovered the Weston A. Price Foundation, which was like 6 months ago, I discovered you guys. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. They must have been, you know, they must have came to be in the last couple years. Then I get Nourishing Traditions, Sally's cookbook. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, what? This came out in what, 2000 or something?
Yeah.
And it literally says on the cover, like, this is your guide to what, non-politically correct food or something. And I'm like, this woman is like so ahead of her time. I couldn't believe it. And it was all bone broth and organ meats and everything that, yeah, is in vogue and that we're talking about now. You guys have been screaming from the rooftops.
Exactly. But you know why people are paying attention now? It's because they've hit bottom. They're so sick and depressed and confused and anxious that they're like, what I'm doing right now isn't serving me. And that's what's kind of lifted up these ancient traditions. And to answer your question from earlier of how I started getting aligned with them, honestly, it's because they asked for a volunteer. This was about 2015. They said, who wants to go to Kenya for us to talk about wise traditions? And I was like, oh, I'll go. I mean, I was kind of new to them. They were like, all expenses paid. I was like, hey, I'll go.
Heck yeah.
But it was also fun because we weren't going just for the heck of it. A Maasai warrior had contacted the Weston A. Price Foundation. And get this, he said, please send someone over. We're all getting sick. He said, I have diabetes. My wife has asthma. He had seen the physical degeneration, not only in his own family, but of his tribe as they started to depart from their traditional ways. So he said, send someone over. He's like, I could talk to my tribe, but they're not going to listen to me. You know how people are.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, I'll go. And what was fun is I didn't go and say, eat the American way, God forbid. You know, I said, eat the way that has served you for millennia. You know, go back to your traditions. And I met people in this Maasai village in this small town called Oyiti on the border of Tanzania who had like 1 foot in their old traditions and 1 foot in modernity. And what I mean by that is this. I was sitting in a warrior's home. Dixon is his name. He invited us there. I was sitting in Dixon's home and all the women of the village had come to hear what I was going to say through a translator. They're wearing their traditional clothing, Alex, like all the beaded earrings and necklaces and their colorful garb. And one of the women I was talking to literally had a chai tea in one hand and a little cup. And in the other, she had a white bread jelly sandwich. And
oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Oh no, like you're wearing your traditional clothing, but you're leaving your traditional foods. And so I had slides and through a translator, I said, go back to what has served you well, which for them was meat and milk and blood. And I wasn't even guessing on that. I got to talk to a tribal elder when I was there. And this is what gave me the idea of the podcast, by the way. I met Dixon's, you know, elder in his tribe who came to his hut or home. And I said to the man, can I ask you a few questions? I grabbed my cell phone. I hadn't even started the podcast yet. I hit voice memo and I said, what did you eat as a child? How did you live? And he said, we ate whatever we could catch. Mm-hmm. So they were hunters, you know, and maybe some wild fruit or honey, but it was mostly the animals and they ate nose to tail. And then I said, well, what did you do when you get sick? He said, we didn't get sick. He said, now they tell me, you know, oh, it's getting cold and you have to wear a jacket. He said, we didn't wear jackets. And if we felt like a shiver coming on, we would just drink milk from the cow. And he demonstrated drinking straight from the udder. So he knew the wise traditions of his people. And honestly, when I left their town in 2015, they had a small church there and the pastor got up in front of the whole congregation. He said, starting today, the women will cook our traditional foods. And I was like, oh, they're going to be mad at me. I was like, oh, no. No. But then I found out they make their decisions by consensus. And some of the village elders had gotten together and said, we need to go back. And then I returned a year later with my husband and found that they had made some changes. You know, they used to drink, or they had started drinking sodas and including the white bread, and they were moving back to the foods that serve their people well. So I love the whole Wise Traditions thing because they're calling us back to something before the 1950s. You know, it's something that is based on isolated indigenous people groups and what has served them well all over the world since the dawn of time.
Well, the 1950s is so problematic because that's when we started getting these like TV dinners and things. We started, you know, all these convenience foods and stuff. And then it took off, obviously, whenever women entered the workforce and then they were working, they didn't have time to prepare meals for their families. So then that's how we got here with all of this. And I think it's interesting you talking about, I really feel like we've hit rock bottom finally. And that's why people are all of a sudden like, wait, tell me about raw milk and all this. Because you are so right. So I'm a millennial, and I just read an article recently that said we are the wellness generation because we grew up 80s, 90s, primarily processed food, and we are all getting sick and we're all looking to fix it and get back to peak health. And so we're all trying to ditch that entire lifestyle and we're looking more into health and wellness. And we also are at the age now where we're out of college, we have established careers, so we have money to spend on getting better and all of that kind of stuff. So I think millennials in particular are gravitating towards the types of things that you talk about on your podcast. Have you noticed recently that a lot of young people are all of a sudden like watching your stuff?
Oh, 100%, 100%. Most of my followers are in exactly your demographic, and I'm so, so thankful. And I'm thinking, you know, that curiosity that you said the millennials have for like, how can we get better? Is exactly what drove Dr. Weston A. Price to begin his worldwide travels to discern what was going on, even in his time. So the Weston A. Price Foundation, if I can give a little backstory, was based on the work of Dr. Weston Price, who in the 1930s traveled the world because he was a dentist and a researcher. He wrote many well-regarded medical papers and so forth. He was highly regarded, actually. And he noticed, though, in his clinic that the kids would come in and they would have a lot of cavities or crowded teeth or poor posture and poor vision and poor hearing. And he was like, what is happening? Because at the same time as he was treating these kids in the clinic, he got National Geographic magazine and he would see these indigenous people with their good posture and their broad faces and smiles and their fertility and just their virility. And he's like, wow, I've got to find out if these people really exist around the world. And if they do, what are they eating? What are they doing that's promoting this healthy, optimal health kind of that I can see through the magazine images. So he and his wife, Florence, went all over the world in 10 years. They went to Alaska and the South Sea Pacific Islands and Kenya and Switzerland and the Outer Hebrides. Anyway, they went all over the place. And he carefully documented what he saw in his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And if you get that book and literally just look at the pictures, it's enough because you will see the pictures of the kind of optimal health that Dr. Price saw in the National Geographic magazine, the people with the broad faces and the good posture and room for all their teeth and their jaws. And then you will see the people who are the next generation who have departed from their traditional food ways. Their faces naturally got more narrow and they started to have more incidences of cavities and more health problems. So what I'm getting at is that's why Dixon called us to come over to Kenya, but also this was the inspiration for Sally to start the Weston A. Price Foundation because she thought, we've got to lift up what Dr. Price found so that people can return to that good health that is our birthright.
What a cool person to just have as a friend and mentor in Sally. Like, I bet you have amazing stories. How would you rate the dietary guidelines that we have gotten historically from the USDA?
Oh, no. I mean,
on a grading scale, A to F.
Oh, it's just total F. It's a total F. You know, the bottom of the pyramid, I know now they have the MyPlate thing, but for years it was this pyramid. It was all grains at the bottom. Why? That was to serve the big ag. It wasn't to serve the people. They weren't thinking about our health and mind. And then the oils they were promoting were vegetable oils. Do you know those things are rancid? Like those aren't health promoting at all.
And that's seed oils.
Yes. Traditional peoples used lard and tallow and palm oil and coconut oil, the saturated fats. And somehow, well, I know how it happened, but it's a long story. But somehow we were told to eat these other oils, which are looking all pretty on the supermarket shelves, all yellow. I used to go down the supermarket aisles, Alex, and I'd be like, gosh, which one should I get? I didn't know. Corn, canola, soy. Like, I was like, which one should I get? I'll just get the one that's on sale. I had no idea. And now I know that they deodorize, they colorize, they make those oils more palatable and better in appearance simply to appeal to you. Their bottom line is making money. Mm-hmm. But those are often like petroleum byproducts. They're not really foods that were meant to be ingested. They're full of toxins. So I'm so grateful to have met Sally and to see with my own two eyes how healthy she is, because she is living according to the wise traditions, following these like 11 principles that Dr. Price and the foundation put together as guidelines for our eating. And I mean, that gets an A++++++, and the food pyramid in my plate gets an F. I'm sorry.
You also brought up how you kind of fell into that trap of, if I just exercise enough, I will be healthy. But the thing is that this is how big food covers up their entire scandal, is they tell you, oh, it's not the food. There's nothing wrong with processed food. It's you're just not moving enough. You're not exercising enough. And so these people will be morbidly obese and they're exercising and they don't understand, why can't I lose the weight? Why can't I lose the weight? But they are only eating poison.
And I don't blame the people at all, because sometimes they think, oh, I've got no willpower. That's why I'm so heavy. If only I got to the gym more. It's not their fault.
It's more addictive than cocaine, processed food.
Yes, you know, there's a book called The Dorito Effect, where they reveal that chemists are in the lab trying to make these hyper palatable foods on purpose. So when you can't just eat one, it's not because you have poor willpower. It's because they made them. They designed them that way to get you addicted. And some of them, I think, like the Takis or whatever that have a cheese flavor, confuse your body. So you take a bite and you think, this tastes like cheese. So your body's thinking and getting signals like, okay, cheese, something that has vitamins A, D, E, and K in it, and something that's going to really nourish me is good, and it's coming, so keep it coming. So you're getting signals to keep eating because your body's confused about what it tastes and the difference between that and what it's really going to get. So the nutrient density never follows that. The word in Spanish is engaño. Sorry, I'm just thinking in Spanish for a second. But it's like your palate is deceiving. It's being deceived. And then the body is not getting what it needs.
So much of skincare is an inside out situation, meaning what we're eating has a lot to do with how our skin looks on the outside. Having the right skincare products for your skin type can work really beautifully along with your diet to give you the glowing skin you deserve, queen. I have loved using Niemi skincare for the past few years because they are conservative owned and their products really work for me as someone with severely dehydrated skin. Living in the literal desert doesn't help. I actually ran out of my Niemi hydrating moisturizer last week, so I had no choice. I had to go buy some pretty high dollar moisturizer at the store. Well, my skin has been dying without Niemi. It's not even close to the same. And I spent so much more on this stupid jar that doesn't even work. My skin just drinks it right up. Whether you have oily, aging, or dry skin, Niemi skincare has your back. Or should I say, your face? Dad joke. My top recommendations for dry skin are their hydrating cleanser, hydrating toner. I like the hyaluronic acid serum. I like the vitamin C serum, especially used together. The hydrating retinol moisturizer is my creme de la creme number one top product. Also, always good to just tack a little sunscreen on top of that. Go to NiemiSkincare.com. Use code Alex Clark for 10% off. That's NiemiSkincare.com with code Alex Clark for 10% off, or find everything in the show notes. Why is eating real food, not cutting out major food groups, and not eating primarily processed food the most unpolitically correct thing you could do? What does that have to do with politics?
The Weston A. Price Foundation, its mission is to empower people to have better health and food freedom so that they can live their best lives. And so freedom is always scary to those in power and the status quo. So if you can't control me because I'm growing my own food, I've got my own chickens, so I've got eggs galore and meat and bone broth and everything that I need right at my fingertips, that makes me a threat to you, right? So I think that's why it's somewhat political. There are industries that want you dependent on them because they want your money, basically. They don't care about your health. So they're like, keep it coming. Keep buying the stuff that we're selling you, and we'll make it better, and we'll put all the right things on the labels. The first wise traditions principle is to not eat refined and denatured foods. In other words, if it comes in a package or a can, it's likely already lost some of its nutrient value. So the fresher the food, the better. You know your farmer, go to the farmer's market. There is a website called farmmatch.com that I use to find the farms around me that deliver right where I am. I get my milk, my meat, my eggs, my honey, my sourdough. I can get it all there or from the farmer's market. And see, I'm circumventing the main system.
What area of the United States do you live, if you don't mind me asking?
I live in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay. So see, people will find that interesting. They like to know that because they're like, well, I don't have this in my area. Or how do I do it? I live in the middle of nowhere. I live in a big city. How do I do it?
Yeah. Well, Farm Match is, I don't want to say they've got you covered for sure, but they will help you see what's around you. Also, the Weston A. Price Foundation has chapters. So little pockets of people all around the U.S. and the world, actually, their only job is to help you find real food in your area, because we're that committed to having people kind of opt out of the system. The more we do that, the more empowered we're going to be.
All right. So let's get down to business.
Okay.
What is an ancestral diet?
Oh, that's a very good question, because it varied all around the world. When Dr. Price went to Kenya, for example, as I said, they were eating meat and drinking blood and raw milk. When he went to Switzerland, it was like mostly butter and dairy products. In Alaska, it was whale blubber and seal oil and fish, you know? So it's like, what is an ancestral diet? It has to be local and it has to be naturally kind of organic. And yeah, I think mostly local and organic, really, and available in your area.
And seasonal.
Yeah, seasonal, absolutely. Because that's when it's going to be freshest and your body will recognize it as food. I have so many different thoughts in my head because I love the Weston A. Price Foundation. I make their podcast, but I also have traveled the world some on my own and done some of my own digging. And I've done some of my own interviews also on my YouTube channel. And what I've learned is there can be like a... Tell me if this is too deep, actually. You could tell
me
if
it's too deep. I love it. I'm into it.
Okay. There can be kind of a biological mismatch if you eat food that's not from your region.
I love this.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. So let me explain. So when Dr. Price traveled the world in the 1930s, he kind of didn't see what was right in front of his face in this one regard. So he was like, okay, everybody's eating whole real foods that are right from there. That's great. Also, people were mostly naked, so they were getting a lot of sunshine, which is also good. But he didn't. There wasn't that much imported food. So when he met these indigenous people who were isolated from the modern world, they weren't getting, let's say, pineapple in Scotland, right? Because it doesn't grow there. So he couldn't see what would happen if people had this biological mismatch. If I get food from a part of the world, longitude and latitude, where I don't live, it will be deleterious to me because it's not the same light information. So not to get too much into the weeds, but let me just say, so the sun feeds us too. It's like a big multivitamin in the sky. So we get nourishment from the sun in ways that are hard for us to understand because I just don't think we experience it. So I think we need to get out more to experience and understand that the full spectrum of light is really beneficial for our hormonal function, for our metabolism, for all these things. And I think one reason, honestly, Alex, people are so depressed and anxious is because they're not outside enough. Our ancestors spent 3/4 of their day outside, and we do the opposite. We spend 3/4 of our day, if not 7/8, inside, you know, under artificial lightings and stuff, under artificial lighting. So.
And you think some of that sunlight kind of goes into that regional food
or
how does that tie into the eating seasonally?
So the light goes into the plants and the produce that grows right where you live, let's say, and maybe even the grass, right? It does go into the grass. And then a cow comes along and it eats the grass. And then we eat the cow or we eat the produce. And so that's all the right light information from those things that we ate. Some people say we're light eaters. So if that makes sense. But if I live in DC, which I do, and I get a pineapple, and don't get me wrong, I like pineapple and banana.
See, that's what people are going to think, like, well, why would it be bad to eat these things if they're not from my region? Because they're still healthy foods.
Well, yes and no. So it is a whole real food. It's better than pineapple chips, let's say, right? Or chips in a bag with who knows what preservatives in them, you know? So it is better in that sense, but it's healthier for you to eat what grows right where you are. That's basically it. It has to do with quantum health. I've read this book called The Mitochondriac Manifesto, and they talk a lot about light and health. And they say that at a cellular level, the mitochondria get more energy 2/3 from the environment and only 1/3 from food. So we really should be paying attention just as much to our light environment and how much time we spend outdoors as we do to the food that we take into our bodies. I do think, without getting into the weeds, think about your own light environment in addition to the food that you eat. Maybe don't go that far about the pineapple and the banana. If you like those, that's okay. I do like them too. But I try to pay attention to where I live and get food that's as local and as nourishing as possible. And like I said, the first principle of the Wise Traditions diet is no denatured or refined foods. So you're trying to avoid the packages and get single ingredient foods, more of those into your diet. And it's not hard and it's not expensive. I know some people say, oh my gosh, organic is budget busting, you know?
Yeah, here's the thing. Is it actually realistic for somebody to be able to eat this way on a budget?
100%. And this is what you have to think. It's an investment in your health. It's worth it. So drop the Hulu subscription, you know, drop some things in favor of your health. It's worth it. Joel Salatin is one of my favorite farmers and a good friend of mine. He lives in Swoop, Virginia, and he's got his Polyface farm. And he always says, people will complain to me, I can't afford this food. He goes, but then they go and buy, let's say, 5 bags of potato chips. He goes, you could buy potatoes for cheaper than the bags of potato chips. Do you see what I'm saying? So make your own potato chips in lard and it's going to taste amazing and you'll eat fewer because it's really going to satisfy you. So it's a matter of where you spend your money. But think about investing in your health. You know, in Europe, they spend more on their food and less on healthcare. And the US, we have it the other way around. We spend more on healthcare and less on our food. And I think there's a correlation there. So I spend more on my food. My food budget is really quite extensive. But the benefit is I have no doctor bills. I honestly have no doctor bills.
And the thing about eating with an ancestral diet and eating seasonally, too, is you don't have to, like what you were saying, you don't have to go so far as you never eat a pineapple because you don't live in Hawaii.
Exactly.
But looking at the months of the year, I know that now we have grocery stores, so we can get any food we want any day. Mm-hmm. But looking up what is actually in season for, you know, right now we're in January, what is in season for January, and then this month, sticking to those vegetables or those fruits for your family. And so one, people are always like so hung up on, I get in a rut. I don't know how to make my recipes different. My family's getting tired of eating the same things. I don't know how to spice it up. And I'm like, you could literally spice it up month by month and be like, hey, this month we're doing a lot of things with asparagus because that's what's in season. And the next month it'll be radishes or whatever. But you can eat seasonally like that and there will be variation.
Yeah. And you don't have to eat what you don't like. You can literally go to the farmer's market and pick up the things that are in season. And that's what you'll find there. Although even there, you have to be on your toes. I don't know if you know, Alex, but sometimes people will bring, let's say, tomatoes from Costco and sell them as if they're from a farm.
Yes. We just learned this with my AJ Richards episode last month. Blew my mind that there is a black market for vegetables.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. So that's why AJ is completely right when he says, know your farmer, you know, shake the hand that feeds you. So I do try to get my food, like I said, from these local farms that I know and trust and that I've been to. My husband and I had the privilege of going to a farm in Pennsylvania where we get our food from an Amish farm. And we pulled up and this little boy was literally churning our ice cream. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it's also really, really inspirational.
So you are the mom who decided to change your life, get rid of the processed food and the processed snacks. You had 4 kids and you experienced telling your family, we're going to change how we're eating now. So for my audience, how do you take a family, kids who are used to that diet full of artificial sugar and corn syrup and everything and say, oh, now we're not going to eat this anymore because, you know, I imagine that's going to cause a lot of fights.
Well, I don't remember making a big announcement.
So that's the key, is that you sneak it in.
Well, and honestly, I was not the best cook. I joke around that I gave my kids the stick diet. It was like carrot sticks, fish sticks, pretzel sticks. Like it was all sticks. I was like, here, just whatever. I thought it didn't matter, you know. But when I realized it did, they were happy because I was suddenly giving them food that really satisfied, you know. And then I guess the other thing is we did small, or as my friend Corey Dunn says, simple swaps. So instead of, let's say, I don't even know, using like Oscar Mayer bacon at the table, we would get bacon from the farmer and we'd have BLTs for dinner. What could be simpler? We get sourdough bread, bacon. Everybody loves this, right? Tomatoes from the farm or whatever. And then we would do raw milk, like vanilla smoothies. And it was so amazingly delicious with some honey in it and maybe a little vanilla extract. And my kids loved it.
See, I always try to say this because when I talk about eating healthier, I don't know why, but I think everybody thinks that that means it's going to be harder.
No.
Harder as in more complicated. Maybe it's not as convenient as putting a Pop-Tart in a toaster because you do need to make bacon and eggs. But the recipes themselves, because I said the other day, I couldn't believe it. I posted on my story. All I was doing was making like green beans and I don't know, something else, seasoning and chicken breasts in the oven. I had all these messages from people saying like, well, that's it. I thought it would be harder than that. I'm like, no, it's not hard. It can be very simple, literally a meat and, you know, talk about like what an ideal plate looks like for an ancestral diet.
The Weston A. Price Foundation does not advocate for any kind of a deprivation kind of diet. You know, the first three letters of diet are D-I-E, die. So I never liked that anyway. So everything's on the table. I used to think they were high protein, but they actually recommend a good amount of fat. That's one of the dietary principles, more fat. So it's super satiating. It's great for your cognitive function and all the things. So we have, I would say, a good cut of meat and maybe some organ meats if you're willing to go there. I mean, of course, those are the most nutrient dense. Liver is the real superfood, not kale or acai berries. But anyway, so a good cut of meat and a fresh salad. I mean, just like what you've seen before, it doesn't have to be complicated, at least my table.
And healthy fats are avocado, right? No.
Yes. I mean, avocado is good, but I think that's more a more modern fat.
Like, okay.
The more traditional fats are lard, which comes from the pig, and tallow, which comes from the cow, coconut oil and palm oil. Those are the saturated fats.
Okay, so it's not something that goes on your plate like by itself. It's like what you're cooking in.
Yes, yes. Okay. Or like the meat already has the fat, so eat the fat. You know, in the Bible, like they're like, happy is the home. I mean, this is a misquote totally from Proverbs, but you know, with fat on the table, like you want fat, right? But we were told the opposite. It's so crazy. And I do think in part, the reason there is an anti-meat agenda is because the less meat we eat, the less leadership qualities and critical thinking we will exhibit. Mm. There have been studies that point to that. So we really need to up meat consumption. I wouldn't lower it. You know, that's also better for your muscles. The more protein, the stronger you will be. Especially as I've gotten older too, I'm just like, kind of bring on the meat and forget the other stuff. It's kind of just a little extra on the side. You know, that's not the nutrient dense bit you're going to get. What Dr. Price noted, and the third principle of the Wise Traditions diet, is nutrient density. He literally got samples, Alex, from all the different places he went, and he sent them back to his lab, samples of the food of the people in these indigenous cultures. And they were four times higher in water soluble vitamins and mineral content, and 10 times higher in fat soluble vitamins like A, D, E, and K. What that meant was, compared to the US diet of his time, it was way better. And that was in the 1930s. So you can only imagine now, when everything we buy is packaged and processed. And, you know, you go to Chick-fil-A and you're like, well, I like their philosophy. I mean, they're wonderful, but their chicken has like 16 ingredients in it. It's not just chicken with a little bread coating. And I don't know what oils they're using there either. So
I think it's soybean.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So what we need to do is take our health back. I used to buy a rotisserie chicken from Whole Foods because I was like, I don't know how to do this. And then I realized, oh, you buy the chicken, you put it in the oven with some butter and spices, and it comes out just as good. So this is how you can do it on a budget, is kind of roll up your sleeves a little bit, learn from, you know, Sally Fallon-Morell's cookbook, or my friend Hillary Boynton has one. I think it's called the Heal Your Gut Cookbook. And just kind of roll up your sleeves and just try like a recipe a week or something. It also takes less time than calling DoorDash and waiting for the food to come. You can whip up a quick, you know, egg frittata with some potatoes, or we often do meat and a little side salad for dinner. And it's like, it doesn't take that much time to cook up a pork chop, and it's delicious, especially when you get it from a farmer that you know is doing it right. That means that the animals aren't getting all injected up, and the animals aren't eating a diet of corn and soy, but they're rotationally grazing. And this might seem like a super high calling, but I will tell you this. When I made the shift for my family, I only did it very gradually. So I did like a year at a time for a change. So it'd be like the year of butter, the year of less chips, the year of this or that. So I took my time, and maybe that's why my family got into it. I mean, my son was always a little resistant. He would look in the fridge and he's like, is that happy cow milk, Mom? Because that was the raw milk. We called it happy cow milk. He did not want the raw milk because it tasted a little different than the pasteurized. But that is a real food compared to the dead food, which is pasteurized milk.
Yeah, I like that. Dead food. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what we should be saying. Maybe it, creating that stigma around processed food, instead of saying processed or commodified food, saying it's dead.
Yes, that's exactly a great way to look at it.
So what are some tips for how moms should be grocery shopping logistically? Like when it comes to transforming the way your family eats, do you recommend meal planning? Do you say just go get a bunch of local meat, keep that in your freezer, and then only go and get like little sides and things during the week? Or what's your recommendation?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I would just start by keeping it simple and buying a lot of meat. If you can go organic, that's great. If you can't, just get it from the grocery store. You know, I understand that times are tough and it's not always easy to get everything that you dream of, but get a lot of meat and then just improvise with the little side things. Get some carrots from the farmer's market, chop them up and add butter. Butter makes everything better. And it's such a good fat. It's like so needed. And this is the funny thing too, Alex, you were talking about like the diet dictocrats and why are they against all these things? They kind of have turned slowly to admit that butter is good. I'll never forget in the 90s when on Time magazine on the cover, it said, butter is back. And I was like, finally, you know, as Sally puts it, she says, modern science is catching up to traditional wisdom. I'm like, she's right. So they'll figure it out sooner or later. But I want for your listeners and for my followers and all the people that I know to figure it out sooner rather than later. Don't get intimidated. You don't have to be an amazing chef. As a friend of mine says, simplicity is gourmet. Just get some meat on that plate with some good fat and experiment around with what your family likes. If they like raw milk and whole fat, that's great. If they like butter, slather everything with butter, and it's just going to be, it's going to be amazing. Watch what happens even to your own blood sugar level. So I used to teach cardio classes like 4 times a week. And like I said, I was really into it all. And in the middle of teaching a class, I would feel my blood sugar dip. And I would be like, oh my gosh, I need a power bar. Like I just need something to lift it back up again. And I thought, I guess I'm just one of those people. I need to graze, until I started eating more the Wise Traditions way, meaning I didn't have cereal for breakfast. Instead, I had like eggs and bacon or yogurt or oatmeal. And then I could sail through my classes. It made a huge, huge difference. So I always say, don't take my word for it. Experiment yourself and see what changes you notice. And the same thing with sunlight. If I can digress again to the sun, I love it so much. As I've traveled the world, all the people groups I've met with, literally, I think in every country, get up with the sun. Like they don't have a lot of electricity in some of these communities. And so when the sun rises, they do too. And so this is so good for their circadian rhythm, for their mental health, for their metabolism, for their hormonal health, for better sleep. And so I became convinced I want to live that way too. And I used to be a full-fledged night owl. So this is a small change I made. I started getting up with the morning sun and I was like, where have you been all my life? Like I never looked back, and I've never been more energetic or feeling as strong and as good as I do now. The sun is making a big difference in my life too.
Okay. You know what trend I'm obsessed with? And I will ask you towards the end, I'm going to ask you about your favorite trends from wellness trends from 2023 that you're bringing into 2024, and the ones that you don't like that were like, this was a waste of time and stupid.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things, and I've noticed it's not happening a lot, but a few people that are always really on the top of trends are doing, is they are turning off all the big lights and artificial lights in their house once the sun sets, and they're just using candles or red lights or beeswax candles. Have you seen this?
Yeah, well, I have, but also I brought my blue blockers and I was like, maybe I should pop them on toward the end of our thing and I can be like, that's trending. I can put that on. Can I do that?
You can do whatever you want. I did an interview last summer with a woman who, she is a company called Tech Wellness. I mean,
I've heard of it.
Everything. Oh my gosh. You have got to interview her.
Yes.
She,
like how to wire your home so you're not
all
using
of
wireless.
It. EMF blockers. She sells special headphones, like earbud headphones that are called air tube headphones.
Yes, I sell those too.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. You have to talk to this girl.
I should.
You guys would get along. But yeah, so I am so into all of the EMF stuff. I turn off my whole Wi-Fi at night.
Good.
All of that. I love it.
Good.
So, okay, here's the other thing too. And then I'm going to ask you about, you have some special tips on eating an ancestral diet that I want you to list.
Yeah.
But before we move on from that, just because we're talking about grocery shopping tips, how would you recommend a mother pack a lunch for her kid based on these guidelines?
It's hard because you don't want to be the having the kid trade their lunch for somebody else's Lunchables, right? So you want to do something that they like. This is a secret, I would say, is get the kid involved. Find out what they like so that you're not packing something and they're trading it away. So that's the first thing. And if they enjoy like bone broth, put it in a little thermos. Like I've seen a lot of moms use the little bento boxes to include like cheese and meat and things that are going to be tasty. And don't be afraid of sweets too. Like I said, the Wise Traditions diet includes sweets. They're just made with honey and maple sugar, like natural, more natural ingredients. You don't have to be like, I can never eat a brownie. Oh, yes, you can. And even a cookie. And that's great. Like God gave us a sweet tooth for a reason, you know, but you will find that those cravings go down as you increase the nutrient density of your family's diet.
Speaking of wellness tips, do you get those little bumps on the tops of your arms? I call it chicken skin. The real name is keratosis pilaris. And I have this. Well, I guess I should say I had this. The two things that I started doing that helped improve my chicken skin were red light therapy every day. I got a little monthly membership to a red light booth near me. Sometimes gyms offer them, so see if one near you does. And then the other thing I started doing was using Alevia Organic Prebiotic Body Wash. This is a body wash that is known to improve blemishes or problems with skin like eczema, psoriasis, burns, and yes, chicken skin. Even the most sensitive skin types like babies can use Alevia Prebiotic Body Wash made with zero toxic ingredients. Really, actually hardly any ingredients. The lavender body wash, for example, only has 8 things in it. No artificial dyes or fragrances. This is what's in it. Filtered water, lavender essential oil, real lavender, coconut oil, aloe vera, dead sea salt, Acadian sea kelp, citric acid, and plant glycerin. It is an all-over body wash. You can use it as a shampoo. You can even use it on your face if you have drier skin. I wouldn't do oily, but if you're dry, you can use Alevia on the face. And when you are balancing your skin's pH and then not stripping the microbiome, actually feeding the skin's microbiome, you will see a significant improvement on sensitive or problematic skin. Chicken skin, be gone! Click, click. Go to Alevia.com, use code ALEX15 for 15% off. That's Alevia.com with code ALEX15 for 15% off, or click the link in the description. Back. Okay, so tell us these, it's 6 tips.
I have 6 ancestral secrets because I love alliteration. That's why I go by Holistic Hilda. I have 6 ancestral secrets that I've kind of put together through the course of traveling and kind of following in Dr. Price's footsteps. The first is the sun. Really, it is a multivitamin. Don't sell that short. I used to teach exercise classes, and if I spent 15 minutes outside each day, that was the most it was. Why? Because I would get my kids ready for school. I'd drop them off. I'd run into the gym. I'd teach my class. I'd go buy groceries. You see what I mean? It was only between the car and the place I was going that I was outside. Now I know early morning sun is great to get your cortisol going, to wake you up. And then if you actually see the sunset, that's good for helping your body wind down. Like, it's amazing. So get outside at least 15 minutes a day. Instead of a smoke break, take a sun break and get outside.
Oh, that's a cute idea.
Right?
I'm going to tell everybody at Turning Point to start doing that. You know, I think this is all kind of shocking information because definitely for my generation, we grew up, sun is bad, skin cancer, always sunscreen, cover your entire body, you know, never be out in the sun. So now I'm seeing this trend in the health and wellness space of like, no, sun is great. We need more of it. Yes. And also sunscreen is not great. What is there a happy medium, or is it truly just like no unfiltered sun? Like what do you say about like all the skin cancer stuff and sunscreen?
What I'm going to say is controversial, but you don't mind that, right?
I don't mind.
Okay. Well, what I think is we need the sun to power up the mitochondria in our body, the little engines in our cells. So we need it so desperately. We should put nothing between us and the sun if we can help it. So the less clothes you wear in the sun, the better. If you can even, it depends on how much privacy you have. But you know what I mean? Like go around like a little.
If you've got a private yard, sunbathe nude.
Exactly. Get in your garden and have some fun. Think about Adam and Eve, you know? But the other thing is, I would rather be the engine and the body that's running strong as I get older, as opposed to looking good. So I'm not saying it has to be a trade-off. I mean, I want to look as good as the next person. But I read in this book, The Mitochondriac Manifesto, that let's say you buy a car today and you put a little tarp over it and just leave it sitting in your driveway for 10 years. And then you take the tarp off of it. That car is going to look amazing. but it's not going to run well. Why? Because it wasn't out and about. So that's what we do when we cover ourselves with sunscreen or avoid the sun. We're kind of limiting the energy that our mitochondria get. And you really want them to have all the energy they can. Like I said earlier, they get 2/3 of the energy from their environment and just 1/3 from the food that you eat. So you really, really, really need that sunshine. And everywhere I've gone, the healthiest people are tawny in terms of their skin, but they look great. They look vibrant. They look beautiful. They're not like sitting there thinking, oh no, I've got one more crow's feet. Who cares?
Yeah.
You're running on optimal energy now. And that's how I want to be. I want to be beautiful from the inside out.
And two other things with the sun stuff. One, if you really want to wear sunscreen, it's very important to look at the ingredients, because the problem is we're putting this sunscreen on thinking that it's keeping us safe and protecting us, but a lot of it has cancer-causing ingredients literally in the thing that is supposed to be preventing cancer. And if you don't believe me, look, there was a ton of recall on popular sunscreens that you get at every grocery store and drugstore just last summer.
Wow.
So, you know, that's one thing I think people need to look at. The other thing is they can do a deep dive. But, you know, looking into eliminating seed oils, people start noticing they burn less.
Yes.
And there's also like, you know, certain types of clothing. If you are somebody that's prone to burn, one, I think you'll burn less if you start changing your diet in that way. But also wearing like white linen and things like that's kind of like a stereotype of like yacht people. But, you know, that's good clothing that still,
yes,
allows the sun to penetrate, but also protects you from like if the sun rays are too strong or you're vacationing somewhere that you're not used to the sunlight there. You know, I'm so used to Phoenix now. I have the most extreme sun all the time. I can lay out and not burn. But
that's
amazing. If you're never here and it's summer, you probably need to, you know, slowly kind of acclimate.
Yes, you can build up your solar callus, as they say. So don't go out tomorrow all naked for the whole day and then blame me for your troubles. But the other thing is, we actually did a Wise Traditions podcast with Elizabeth Plourd on this topic. And I think we called it, is it the sun to blame or is it the sunscreen? Because people are getting more and more skin cancer and they didn't used to get it as much as they are now. So actually, it's correlated. The incidence of skin cancer with the rise of the use of sunscreen, it's the opposite of what you would expect. So I suggest that people do exactly as you say, pay attention to the ingredients in those things and consider protecting themselves from the inside out with the right diet, as you mentioned.
Okay, so what is your second ancestral secret?
Okay, so the first one is sun. The second one is shivers. Because we need to expose ourselves to the elements more.
Now, this is controversial for me, Hilda, because I hate the cold. No,
oh,
that's why I love living in Phoenix. Except this week that you're here, it is unseasonably cold. But normally, I mean, it's pool weather all year.
Yeah, isn't that funny? But everywhere I go, including like Mongolia, I was there last fall. And the people, now they're not outside in a tank and shorts, but they're constantly facing the elements. And when you do that, Alex, your mitochondria have to work. So they're staying strong that way too. It's like you're exercising them, not just through getting the beneficial sun rays, as I mentioned before, but by forcing them to build your body heat and protect you. So I love it. And I'm a Latina. I shouldn't be in the cold either. But I started jumping in ice holes about 5 years ago because I interviewed this guy, Thaddeus Owen, and he's on the podcast that we called Biohacking Your Health, I think, or Biohacking Our Health. And he said, we're far too comfortable. He said, in the winter, we heat our homes to 70 degrees. In the summer, we cool them to 70 degrees. So we're always like this. And some people say this is one reason we're getting sick too, because our mitochondria have gotten lazy. So they need the cold too to kind of shock them into activity. But when you get cold, your body builds brown fat, which burns more body fat. You boost your metabolism. It improves your cognitive function. It's good for the circulatory system. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the cold, but it really is good for you. And if nothing else, it's kind of building your mental resilience, because then you're like, okay, if I can do this, if I can walk outside for 30 minutes as I did this morning at 33 degrees, I'm like, okay, I'm doing all right. I'm gonna make it. You know, it's really kind of fun. It's like a small win that helps you get ready for the next challenge you might face. Sun, shivers, sleep.
I was going to ask you your sleep secrets, some really, really good wellness things that you've learned throughout the years when it comes to sleep.
Yeah. I have some tips here because it's something, even as a health coach and a fitness professional, I used to shortchange myself on. I was like, in one of those, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of thing. I'll just stay up late. What? Why? Because I put the kids to bed and I was like, now's my chance to get some things done. And I would either get on emails or start doing the laundry. And so, yeah, my first tip is you can't really catch up on sleep. People think I'll catch up on the weekend. So don't shortchange yourself. If you start getting the morning sun, of course, you're going to get tired earlier. So it all fits together. So do what you can to wind down at night. I personally use blue blockers. I'll just pop them on now because why not? Because here we are in the studio and I'm sure the sun is already set.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm doing is I'm blocking the blue light from hitting my pineal gland, because when I get the blue light, my body thinks, oh, it's the middle of the day, and I'll get that boost of cortisol and I'll start, you know, getting active again. People call it a second wind when they're on emails or whatever. They're like, oh, I guess I can stay up later. Well, or they're watching TV. Of course you can, because the artificial light is affecting your brain, and then that signals your body that it's a different time of day, and it gets all confused. And then when you do get in bed, you can't always fall asleep right away because it's stimulating, right? So either wear blue blockers or change your incandescent bulbs at home to red. Your neighbors will wonder what's going on. They will wonder what's going on, but it's okay, you know? And so that will help you sleep.
Some other people that I like in the health and wellness space, they've talked about how the lamps on their bedside tables, they switch those out to red light bulbs so that when all the big lights are off in their house, they just pop those on, and then that helps you get sleepy and wind down.
Yeah, it really does help. And I would say get off devices too a couple hours before bed. That might sound crazy. You might be like, all I want to do is like watch my favorite show right now. But if you try it, you're going to get to bed sooner if you stop watching your shows, for example, and you're going to have more restorative sleep. Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride, who I've also had on the podcast, she's known well in the GAPS world. Have you heard of her?
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you more about her later. But anyway, she's amazing. And she actually says you should get to bed no later than 10 o'clock.
I agree.
Yeah.
And you know what helped me realize that is this. I have the Oura Ring.
Yes.
Obsessed with this.
I love it too.
And this kind of, it tells you what your body's clock is and then what your ideal bedtime window is. And yeah, it's always right before 10. Pretty much around 10 is when I need to be going
to
bed.
So sometimes you feel like a little granny. You're like, oh no, why am I going to bed so early? But it feels so good. And then you're more energetic, and then you don't need coffee, and you don't have that like mid-afternoon slump in the middle of the day. Like, it's just, sleep is so, so, so important. And again, where I've traveled, I've seen the people go to bed again when the sun goes down. You know, they're very much in tune with nature's rhythms, and it's so fabulous for your health. Yeah, it's been fantastic. So we've got sun, shivers, sleep. Sustenance is the fourth one, which of course I base the way I feed my family, and I recommend everyone follow the Wise Traditions principles. And if you don't know where to start, just start with number one, eating fewer packaged and denatured foods. And number two is eating nose to tail. If you're afraid of including animal products, get this. When Dr. Price traveled the world, he was like hoping he would find plant-based cultures. He didn't find one. And he said it was his greatest disappointment. He really thought he would find people who didn't eat animal products, and they all did.
That is so juicy.
I know.
I love that. I did not know that.
Yep. Yep. He was surprised. He was surprised himself. But now in some places where, let's say, animal meat was hard to come by, they would improvise with insects and such. But on the whole, if people could get a hold of an animal, you know they would be eating it. As Paul Saladino, the carnivore MD, says, like, they're not celebrating that they harvested a carrot. They're celebrating when they got the kill.
So what do you think about somebody like that? Like, what do you think about the carnivore diet? Because that's so trendy. I mean, that would be against really the Weston A. Price method of eating everything, because they do say cut out certain food groups, basically, right?
They do. But I don't feel oppositional with them at all. Okay. I love them. I feel they're on the right track. What they're doing, honestly, Alex, is a type of elimination diet. They're like, my gut can't handle grains. It can't handle, some of them say, dairy or the oxalates and vegetables. Well, good for them. Then they found what works. And I'm not surprised that it's animal products. You know, it's mostly meat and maybe eggs and butter or something.
Do you think that most of the people in the United States that are like gluten free, they think they have a gluten problem? It's really just the glyphosate on our bread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. And one of the other principles of the Wise Traditions diet is to prepare seeds and grains properly, and nuts. Yeah, seeds, grains, nuts, and beans, to prepare them properly. And what that means is you do need to soak grains so that the anti-nutrients that are kind of protecting the, I forget what it's called right now, but anyway, so that the anti-nutrients can be neutralized and that you can better absorb the nutrients from the grains. So the reason people have a hard time with gluten is actually because we've hybridized and changed the wheat product. You know, the original ancient grains weren't as hard on the gut, but also people knew how to prepare them properly. So that's why sourdough is the bread that we usually recommend, because that means it's gone through a fermentation process.
That's why everybody is so confused. I'm like, what is the deal with sourdough? I'm so sick of seeing all this stuff about sourdough. And I'm like, because it's the best.
I mean, that would be
the most nutrient dense type of bread.
Yes, that's what we think. Absolutely. And I mean, imagine if you also got like an ancient grain like einkorn and you had sourdough einkorn. It's like all the things, you know? So, but you just do the best you can wherever you can. So we recommend sourdough. We recommend soaking beans. The reason people often have digestive discomfort when they have beans is because they haven't been properly prepared and soaked and overnight, which is what traditional people groups would do.
So you don't like beans that come from the can. You would say buy the ones that are in the bag and then do the soaking.
Mm-hmm. Or you can get them from a brand called Jovial, I think it is.
Yes.
Where they've already done the soaking for you.
Oh.
And I think To Your Health also is a company that does some of that. So I get it that seems like a lot of work. This is actually one reason I don't have a lot of beans, because I'm like, I'm not going to soak those.
Yeah.
But soaking isn't as hard as you think. Also, it's just literally a process that happens overnight. I've done it with oats when I wanted to make granola for my family. So there are ways to incorporate some of these rhythms. But so what if you did that, for example, instead of watching your favorite show at night? You know, like do it by red light or with your blue blockers on. It's more productive and it's really nourishing. So
that's the sustenance part.
Yeah, sustenance. We're right near the end. So after sustenance, I talk about strength, because we do need to move. So I was kind of on the right track back in the day when I was just teaching fitness classes. Like, obviously, a lot of our lives now are sedentary. We spend a lot of time on devices, even children, unfortunately. So to get outside, to get moving is really important. Our bodies were made to move. And with languages, people always say use it or lose it. It's the same with our bodies. If you don't move them, you're going to lose that mobility.
So that is my biggest hurdle. I actually don't like working out at all. I grew up in a very sedentary home and I am very sedentary.
But what do you like? Do you like dancing? Do you like paddleboarding?
None of it. So I have to train myself I have to really, really get myself encouraged with a group of friends that is into doing that. I had a friend today ask me, she's like, Alex, do you want to go up north to Flagstaff, Northern Arizona? People don't know this, but like in Arizona, you have every climate within the same state if you just go to different areas.
Yes.
So up north, like an hour and a half north, it's snow and you can ski. So she was like, do you want to go skiing with us? I've only been skiing once in my life when I was 8, but I was like, yes, because they're encouraging me and they're going to do it. And I'm like, so then I'll go outside. But me, if I had the choice, you know, I would be somebody that's always indoors. I'm an indoor cat, baby. So that's me. So that's my challenge. You know, where some people are like, yes, my challenge is giving up the processed food. I have a challenge too. It's not like it all comes easy to me.
No.
And so I have to be really aware of that and really push myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if there's a way you can do it that will be joyful and not just like gritting your teeth and bearing it.
I want to try Pilates. That's like something I've done. Pure Bar before. I would say that's like, I can handle that. You know, I'm not a cardio person. I'm not going to be out there running, but so it's trying new different classes and things too, and seeing like, what do I enjoy the most, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my daughters recently signed up for a membership at a gym that's all boxing. And she's like, I'm just doing it, mom, just for fun. I was like, that's awesome. So I think if you could find something that you love, that would be great. And maybe walking is enough too, Alex. You know, I think sometimes women think we have to be, you know, as buff as the latest, you know, bodybuilder guy that we follow on Instagram. It's like, no, we can just be strong and resilient, but we don't have to be like all cut like that.
Well, it's also just biologically, I've learned this recently, that us trying to work out like men and get a, you know, 6-pack abs and stuff also might be really, really hurting our health as women.
That's right.
So just the way that we work out should look totally different than a man. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people denounce HIIT workouts for women, and doing the slower, like rucking, walking, that kind of stuff is just more beneficial to how we are made.
I love that. I'm exploring that very much also right now, because I feel like we have cycles as women. We're not little men. So our diet, our movement, all these things don't have to be identical to the man's.
That's the other big huge wellness trend is cycle syncing to your workouts.
Yes. Interesting. So yeah, I guess I'm going to be trending in 2024 also. But so my last ancestral secret is actually spirit. And I saw this in Ecuador, especially, I think of it. I went down to be a part of the Inti Raymi Festival, which if you like look on Wikipedia, it says it's like a sun worship festival. It wasn't a sun worship festival. It was almost like a thanksgiving of gratitude to God. Yes, for the sun, but for the earth and for the harvest. Like, it was amazing. And I saw these people like dancing around and stomping on the earth. And they said, this is our way of thanking the earth for giving us its harvest. It was so beautiful. But this is the story I want to tell you. So I was talking to the guide of mine and his wife, Christina, and they said, you know, in 2020, a lot of us got COVID in this community. And I was like, what did you do? She said, we gathered up medicinal plants and herbs, and we took them to each household that was affected by COVID. And they said, no one was hospitalized and no one died. And I was like, can I see that list of herbs and plants? Because I was very curious. And then I never got it. But then I thought, you know what? That's okay. Because I realized those things were given in the spirit of community and in love. And so I just want to say to anyone who's listening right now, is like, oh my gosh, they're talking about the sun. They're talking about diet. They're talking about exercise. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Don't shit on yourself. Don't be like, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Don't shit on yourself. Just give yourself grace, because the most important thing is love in the end, in my estimation, Alex. Of all the wisdom and the things you need to do things in your life, or look for things that lift your spirit. You know, I start my day with prayer. I walk, I get the morning sun. I receive grace from God that I extend to others, because I think in the end, that's more important than the best, you know, most nutrient dense plate in a sad household, a depressed family. You know, what you really want is to be in community and to have things in your life that lift up your spirit.
A piece of advice that I heard recently that I really loved when it pertains to all of this was, they said, if it's making you miserable, it's not wellness. So if there's some little thing that you just cannot stand for whatever reason, you know, that's just really driving you nuts, like, I don't know, infrared sauna or whatever, you just cannot stand doing saunas, then don't do saunas.
Exactly.
I mean, there's basic things that we all need to be doing, like the diet stuff. But like beyond that, these little extra things, you know, collagen powder, whatever, like these are just extra, like additional fun things. If you like it and it serves you and you notice a positive difference, keep doing it. Just because it works for me, just because it works for Hilda, doesn't mean you have to do it. I think a lot of times I feel bad because my audience holds themselves up against me. I don't know if you notice that, but they're like, well, Hilda, you're doing this and all this, and I just can't do it all, or I don't like it, but like, you're saying that you do it and it's good for you, so why isn't it good for me? It's like, well, we're all different.
Yes.
You know?
I love that so much. I feel like we're always looking at studies too and being like, well, that study pointed to that and I should be eating this. And no. Like, experiment with yourself. Take maybe one thing. This is actually why at the end of my podcast, I always say, what's the one thing you can do to improve your health? Because I want people to walk away with just one thing that they could maybe apply to their life. And then little by little, with baby steps, incorporate more things that you find that are lifting your spirit and your body too.
What are some of the examples of dishonesty that we see in food labeling?
Oh my gosh. I did an interview with Paul Grieve, who's a farmer from California, and I think we called it something about like myth-busting labels, because there'll be a label like on eggs that says cage-free, and you're like, well, that sounds good. That just means that the chickens can roam around, but they might be in this huge hoop house in isolated conditions where they can't even get outside. And the reason I'm even thinking of this is because I'm staying at a hotel just now and the eggs were labeled cage-free. And I looked at the yolk and I was like, that is the palest yolk I've ever seen. It just was not like what I get from my farmer. So I was like, okay, you just can't take the labels at face value. And they're all the things they say natural. They can call natural flavors things that they've concocted in a lab. You know, there's so many ways that they can kind of hoodwink the public. I think we need to be really careful to get more single ingredient foods, as I said earlier, because when you're buying something in a package, even if it says natural, paleo, keto, organic, you just can't always trust what you see. Even industrial organic is different than organic at a local farm.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
Well, industrial organic means they're doing organic farming, but on a large scale, and it allows a certain number of pesticides and so forth. So like, I'm a girl that loves her berries, and I don't want to shout out or malign a particular berry company, but there's one that has berries like all over the world, pretty much, I think. And I'm like, how many berries and how many acres of berries do you all have? That's a monocrop situation. And nature loves diversity. And true regenerative agriculture has a diversity of crops and livestock so that it all works in a kind of symbiotic way to make the soil healthier. And so therefore the produce and the animals are healthier. Do you see what I mean? But yeah. If it's monocrop, it's like corn and soy. And even if it's all berries, chances are there's not a lot of diversity in the soil and the berries are not as nutrient rich as those I might get if I go up to Vermont or Maine in August and go berry picking.
I was going to ask you if you think it is really important being, you know, eating meat that says grass fed or eating things that say organic.
I prefer organic, but I don't only eat organic, especially if I'm eating out and traveling. You know,
well,
I do,
yeah, that's impossible.
Yeah. But at home, I mean, I go organic because as AJ said on your podcast recently, people should go back and check out that one. Like they're feeding the animals crap. And if they're feeding the animals crap, then you're going to feel like crap. And it's not just even the food, Alex, it's energetically how they're treated. The animals are not living their best lives. It's just, it's really sad. I agree with vegetarians and vegans who are like, the animals should not be in concentrated animal feeding operations. 100% they shouldn't be. You know, the little chickens are so nervous that they're plucking off their feathers. So you know what they do? They kind of like shave down their little beaks so they can't pluck off their feathers. That makes no sense. That's like tamping down a symptom on someone who's sick instead of getting to the root cause. So they shouldn't have the chickens all tight in quarters like that, where even the men have to come into the hoop houses with hazmat suits on because it's such poor living conditions. They can't breathe in there. The men who go to take care of them ostensibly. So it's just, it's a mess out there. And so I don't want to eat animals that have been in that situation because also the energy goes into their meat and then you're eating that. And I'm just like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But when I'm on the road and when I'm traveling and someone offers me something, I take it with gratitude, trusting that it can still be used by my body in the right way.
What are some myths and truths about cholesterol?
Just like Sally says, that modern science is catching up to traditional wisdom. I think we're very confused about cholesterol, and scientists are kind of trying to parse out LDL versus HDL. And when it's too high, you have to go on statins. And I just think it's a racket. Cholesterol naturally goes up as you age. You need more cholesterol. So to take statins reverses the natural biology. What your body is doing, cholesterol is actually like a fireman at the fire. He's helping you. He's not hurting you. So when you say get back, you're getting all these side effects from the medicines, I don't think it's a good idea. I think cholesterol is fine, and I wouldn't worry about that number for the life of me. Now, keep in mind, I'm not a doctor, but I just believe that when you eat the most nourishing foods and when you live your best life and you're getting all these inputs that I've mentioned, these six ancestral secrets, or at least some of them, and you feel good, don't worry about the numbers. Doctors and scientists love to measure and look at all these little numbers and point and say, this one's wrong and you need this pill. I wouldn't buy it for a second.
Tell me about the cod liver debate. I did not know there was a debate.
Dr. Price pointed to cod liver oil as a food. He said it's not a supplement. It's actually a food that everyone should include in their diet because liver is a superfood, as I said earlier. And when you don't get enough of it in your diet, you can get it in this liquefied form. So he recommended people taking it and he realized it worked better in tandem with some butter, oils and so forth. And that's great. And so what happened was, here's another controversy for you. So the Weston A. Price Foundation has a little shopping guide and we just rate things, kind of we call them as we see them. Like I think it's like good, better, best in terms of things that we recommend. We don't put things that are worst on there. We don't say always avoid this food because we're not trying to point the finger. But so we mentioned that we thought green pasture cod liver oil was a good one. It's actually a fermented cod liver oil. And the guy who started it, I think Dave Wetzel, has gone to Scandinavia and seen that they ferment the cod livers, like these little livers from the fish, they ferment them, and then they would make the cod liver oil from that. So we thought, that's great. But some people tested it and they said, oh no, the vitamin A and D levels aren't as high as touted. And we think this isn't actually from cod, but from a different kind of fish. And personally, I'm like, okay, if you don't want to take that cod liver oil, don't. Like, I don't think it's a hill for the Weston A. Price Foundation to die on. Sally kind of wrote a letter of rebuttal. But personally, I think, again, there are many cod liver oil products out there. Take the one that you like. If you don't want to take green pasture, fine. But people got all up in arms and they were like, oh, has Sally been lying to us all these years? I will tell you, I get together with her regularly. She is the picture of health. She relies on this cod liver oil, green pasture products, cod liver oil regularly, and she gives it to her children and her grandchildren. And I think that's saying something. So people can, you know, make a big tempest in a tempest in a teapot, which is maybe perfect for the spillover podcast. They can do that if they want to, but I don't think it's controversial at all. If you want to take it, do it. If you don't, don't. And I do from time to time. I mix it up a little bit, but I do take it.
All right. So I know this is going to be one of the most controversial things for my audience.
Okay.
How important is the cookware that we use?
Oh, I think it's very important.
I do too.
It's really important. And people don't know. We are sacrificing our health on the altar of convenience. This is why we're not doing well as a society, because we want the DoorDash. We want the, you know, home delivery. We want the pizza in under 30 minutes or it's free. And that has been at the cost of our health. We don't realize it. So we thought, oh, I hate washing these pans. If only someone would come up with something. And they did. And these Teflon nonstick pans are full of carcinogenic chemicals. So when you cook in those day after day after day, and especially if they have scratches in them, then more of those toxins are released. So a simple cast iron pot is not expensive. I see these often at the thrift store. So pick up a cast iron pan or pot and cook in that, or stainless steel. That's fine too. But the other stuff you really should stay away from. That's not going to help your health.
So there's a trend of non-toxic, non-stick cookware, and it's all colored and beautiful. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Do you trust that?
I'd rather stick with the tried and true.
That's how I feel.
I really would.
I am all stainless steel. So I'm a stainless steel girly. One thing I want to do is get a cast iron. I don't have a cast iron skillet. I want to get a cast iron this year and start learning how to use that. And the other thing is, too, when it came to switching out my cookware, I also thought it would be important to get rid of my plastic utensils, like spatulas and things.
Yes.
So I got all stainless steel, like pasta strainer and spatula and all that.
Good. And you can use wooden utensils.
Yes.
And that's wooden. Really important, because you're repeatedly cooking in the same space over and over. Let's say you can't buy organic, but you can at least get a new pan that's from the thrift store and spare your family that input. You know, I used to think detoxing wasn't important. We haven't even touched on that. But I think now we are assailed from all sides with all kinds of toxins. You mentioned glyphosate. And then there are chemicals in our tap water. And in our food, there are pesticides and herbicides and all kinds of residues in the air that we breathe. So I'm really big on doing as much as I can to prevent these things from coming into my body in the first place. So I don't use sunscreens. I don't use plug-in fresheners in my home. You know, I try to get the most organic or low-tox things possible so that I have less of a toxic load in my body and in my family's body.
I get it. You may not live somewhere with a trusted farmer or rancher to get your meat. For people like you, I love Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers is an American and conservative-owned meat subscription company that works with small farmers and ranchers in Middle America to get you grass-fed and grain-finished meat that you can trust. Pasture-raised chicken, even wild-caught fish. I keep all my Good Ranchers meat in my freezer. I just take like half an hour to thaw it out when I get home from work every night. I throw some chicken breast, green beans, or potatoes in the oven for like 40 minutes, do a bunch of spices on there, and voila! Hardly any prep, nutritious meal. It doesn't have to be hard. It just has to be nutrient dense. Good Ranchers has a new year, new meat deal right now, where if you subscribe to Good Ranchers in the month of January, you're going to get free chicken for a year. 2 extra pounds of pasture-raised pre-trimmed chicken in every box for an entire year. This is a $189 value. Free. Start the year with meat you can trust. Go to goodranchers.com with code Clark for $20 off your order, plus free chicken for a year. That's goodranchers.com with code Clark for $20 off and free chicken for a year for a limited time. Find the link in the show notes if you forget. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. Okay, what are some getting started tips you have for somebody who wants to build a holistic medicine cabinet in their house?
Well, we actually did a podcast on that very episode. I think I called it like Mom's Herbal Remedy Toolkit, you know, because it's not hard, but it's foreign, right? All we know is go into CVS and get Tylenol and NyQuil. Oh, please don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
But, you know, all the remedies that you see on the shelf with a cute little picture of the kid looking happier with the little teddy bear. No, like what you want is to find simple remedies that don't cost as much and also don't tamp down the symptoms of your child, because the fever is actually a healing modality. Did you know that? A fever means the kid's body is fighting something. So I understand you don't want it to get alarmingly high, but there are ways in which you can make them comfortable as they have the fever and work through it. Let their body let the white cells win, you know what I mean? To fight the infection or whatever it is. So when you take a Tylenol or have them take a Tylenol or a NyQuil to lower their fever, you're unintentionally causing a ceasefire that maybe isn't helping the child reach their next level of health. Some people say every symptom you have is simply a healing modality getting you to the next level. And that's especially true of our children. So I can't remember the name of the woman that I interviewed on this, but she had a whole little medicine cabinet. But there are simple things as easy as like a chamomile tea, you know, a simple chamomile tea that you could get at any Whole Foods or natural grocer, I suppose, and make that tea for your kid if they're having trouble calming down before bedtime. And you would figure out, you know, what, how they might like it with a little bit of honey or whatever. You can make a special little ritual of it. Or I think there are just so many herbs that are staring us right in the face. Like ginger is great for detoxification and for lowering inflammation, as is turmeric. And these are things you could include in a fried rice dinner one night, you know, so it doesn't have to be fancy or foreign. But I would say listen to that podcast on the Wise Traditions podcast and then look for further resources from maybe your local chapter leader as well. So all you have to do is go to westonaprice.org and click on find food or find your local chapter. You can see where you live anywhere in the world, as I said, and literally there are phone numbers and email addresses for the chapter leaders near you, and they will help you find resources for such things.
Are parasites something that people in the U.S. can get, or is that only third world countries?
Oh, no, you can get them here, too. But get this. So I interviewed someone on the subject of parasites not too long ago, but I realized I'm not worried about them because some parasites are actually supposed to be in our body. They're helping us get rid of heavy metals.
Oh,
so you don't want to like necessarily wipe them out. I don't know. It's a complicated situation, but I also think you don't have to get like extreme with coffee enemas necessarily, even though that's probably trending too.
It is popular.
Liver flushes and there's all this stuff. People want to get so aggressive and go so hard. But I say, what about like getting in a sauna or working out to work up a sweat or putting your feet in Epsom salt baths at the end of the day? These are all detoxing modalities that are not as stressful and not as harsh on the body that may help you. I'm not saying those will all get rid of parasites, but personally, you know, I travel a bunch and I hardly take anything. I recently got some wormwood from a friend who makes tinctures and it's actually black walnut. Black walnut is supposed to be good against parasites. So I thought, well, it's not going to hurt me. I'll probably take this tincture with me and drink it now and then when I travel. But honestly, I think we're better off living in confidence in our body's ability to stay strong and be resilient and keep on building that up as opposed to living in fear of every toxin, pesticide, glyphosate, you know, parasite. If you're worried about that, you're weakening your immune system function. So I try to go forward with doing the best I can and believing in the resilience and strength of my body.
I like that. And it's a little bit different advice than I feel like we're getting a lot of right now in the health and wellness space. So I like that from you. I think that's authentic to you and something different for people to consider that maybe they're finally somebody said exactly what I'm feeling. You talked about vitamin A and how that can be good with fertility and pregnancy. Could you talk about that? Where do we find vitamin A?
It is one of the most important vitamins. Maybe that's why it's A. Sally says it's like a conductor of an orchestra. And so it helps all of the other vitamins work in synergy with our body. And I did a whole podcast on this with Pam Schoenfeld, vitamin A and fertility. But I would suggest that you can get it best from animal products. So eggs, meats, even fish, definitely organ meats like liver. Yeah, there's vitamin A in liver. This is why I called it a superfood. So it's simple. It's not complicated. But don't be looking to vegetables. Some people say, well, carrots have vitamin A. No, they have the precursor to vitamin A.
Oh.
And so unless your body is good at converting it, it won't do so. And not everybody's a good converter. So you really want vitamin A where it's found naturally in foods. And it's found in butter and cheese, too.
Okay, so you talked to some of the most cutting edge experts in health and wellness, most respected names in health and wellness, just absolutely amazing guests every week. What were some of your favorite new trends that you tried last year that you were like, I'm bringing this into the new year with me. This worked for me and I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh my gosh. Alex, honestly, it's kind of a cumulative effect. I've been podcasting for 8 years, and little by little, I've been incorporating many of the things my guests have said. And my husband's finally like, are you ever going to stop? I'm like, no, no, I'm not. Because why should I? I'm not saying I can do every single thing, but I learn so much and I incorporate so much. I would say recently, I don't really think in terms of trends, but.
Or just tips.
Maybe it is a trend. Grounding, literally putting your feet on the ground.
Talk about this because I've briefly just mentioned it like in passing on different podcasts, but no one has explained what it is and why it's good.
Okay, this is so good because I know we're wrapping up and I don't want anyone to have listened to this podcast and leave feeling kind of defeated, like it's just too much. I don't know where to start. Maybe you could just start by putting your feet on the ground. And don't our children do this naturally? They throw off their sandals. They don't want to wear their tennis shoes. They want to run around barefoot. When was the last time you, as an adult, were barefoot? Like, think about that. Ask yourself that question. And the thing is, this is what's going on. We've lost contact with the earth. And so we are gaining a positive charge in our bodies, which sounds good, but in this case, it's not, from all the non-native electromagnetic frequencies around us. So we've got our cell phones and then the cell towers.
And I also want to clarify, this is scientific. This isn't, yes. This is not new age. At first, it sounds like some woo-woo weird thing going barefoot and stuff. But what you're talking about is scientific, especially with all the other things going on around us with electronics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what happens is it's like your body is wearing an ever-increasing heavier backpack, loaded down and weighed down by all of the things that are surrounding us. And it's only getting more and more 5G, 6G, 7G. That's not a stuff of the future. Like, that's happening now, right? So we're carrying this around and we have no place to offload it except for the earth. The earth has a naturally negative charge. And so when you touch it, even if you touch a tree, let's say you're like, okay, it's getting too cold right now. I don't want to put my bare feet on the ground. Touch a tree, lean against it. I do this in the morning when I walk in the park. And it gives you, the earth gives you its negative energy, its negative ions, and takes on your positive charge. So it's like they call her Mother Nature. Mother Nature is taking off that heavy backpack and replacing it with a load that you can carry. And that negative charge from the earth is also taking care of the free radicals, kind of the oxidative stress that your body has that's cancer causing. So literally with 15 minutes of putting your feet on the ground, there's this wonderful exchange. And it is scientifically based. I think Clint Ober did a documentary called Earthing. I think it was that simple. And he goes over the benefits of it. And people lose weight and people have less joint pain. And so it has been documented that the earth can do this for us. And it's right under our noses or our feet. And we forget to avail ourselves of it. So I, as an adult, make an effort to, if not put my feet exactly on the ground, I'll lean against trees in the park. I do what I can in the winter to continue to get that wonderful negative charge that leads to positive energy for my body.
And that's just like, too, everybody's familiar with when you go to the beach, the negative ions from the ocean. I'm saying that right, right?
Yes, and it's from the ground, too. And so people feel so good, and they think it was just that vacation.
No,
it wasn't just the
vacation.
It's not.
It's a real thing, and that's why I'm saying it's not new age. This is real. And what I love that I learned, so one of my favorite wellness tips that I learned in the last year was that the beeswax candles that you light in your home, this is why I like turning off all the lights during nighttime, only lighting candles, making sure they're beeswax, because those emit the same negative ions as the ocean, I learned.
Yes.
So I thought that was a really cool tip, and it helps you relax, get sleepy. So see, it all is just so fun. Okay, so that's one of your favorite things. What's one of your least favorite trends, or just something that just didn't work for you?
Have you ever done a hyperbaric oxygen chamber?
Is that like the cryotherapy thing, like the cold?
No, it's just like, I don't know, putting you at a different pressure level.
Okay.
So that your body has to, I hate
just
those
made
things.
Up. Just
I don't
doesn't
know, Michael
do
Jackson did it back in the 70s or something. I don't know. I'm like, I hate it. It's like makes my ears pop. I'm like, why am I doing this? It doesn't make sense. That's one thing I don't like. And people do it all the time. I guess it's supposed to be, maybe it is like a cold therapy thing in the sense that it challenges your body and so that you can have better capability for oxygenating your blood or
but
something.
But it didn't work for you,
no,
which is fine.
No, it didn't work for me.
Okay.
And the other thing I tried maybe once was methylene blue, which is something that people take to detox. But again, I'd rather go the simple way. Again, from all my travels, I'm just like, it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be expensive. It can be accessible and free and easier. So let's not get all uptight about it. Let's look back to the past for good health today. That's how I see it.
You talked about the Weston A. Price local chapters that are around the country that you can join and learn more about this and then find like-minded people that are into the same stuff, especially for those that are like, well, no one in my family, no one in my friend group is in on this. I feel so alone. Like, that would be a really good way to meet people. And
absolutely. And I don't think I said this, but it's free. So, like, you can become a member of the Weston A. Price Foundation if you really find benefit in their materials and stuff. You can join any local chapter for free. It's there for you. And sometimes the chapters don't just give you real food resources, but they have meetings and they'll have a farmer come in and talk about microgreens or what have you. And it's really fun. Or potlucks. And that's the best food you might have all month. So yeah, find your local chapter.
Okay. And so the other thing that the Weston A. Price Foundation does, which I told you I'm dying to go, is you guys put on a big conference every year with tons of speakers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Talk a little bit about those, what time of the year those are and when to expect, you know, a final city to be announced and date and lineup and all that.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So we have our Wise Traditions Conference. And even if you don't go in to hear a single speaker, just like you said, being around like-minded people is so beautiful and encouraging. And you'll meet everyone from an Amish farmer to a mom like you to a health and wellness expert, a chiropractor, you know, who's right around the corner from you and you didn't even know it. Like, it's amazing. So we have these every fall. It's either October or November. And the foundation kind of takes turns in terms of where in the country they decide to have it. They've had it in California. They've had it in Texas. This last year was in Kansas City. I expect it will be in October of 2024. The exact date and the location has not been announced yet. But I will be there and I love meeting people.
When do you normally announce that? Like, will it be over the summer or something?
Oh, no, it'll be soon. It'll be in the next month or two.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so we can look forward to that. And then tell us a little bit about your podcast, when you release new episodes and some upcoming episodes you're excited about.
Okay. So it's the Wise Traditions podcast. It comes out once a week. I'm proud to say I haven't missed a Monday in like 8 years. I know.
That's a big deal
strong.
In podcasting.
It is. We've never pod faded and it's been so much fun. And so we interview people from Bruce Lipton to Tommy John to Zach Bush. It's been amazing. Health and wellness experts. And then people just with their own stories. This mom I told you about with her natural remedy toolkit. And it's been phenomenal. A particular episode I'm excited about is an interview I conducted with Dr. Olivia Lessler recently, and she is like a psychoneuroimmunologist. So she's very much about, I guess, helping your body feel safe so that you can heal. Because some of the people listening, and maybe you too, Alex, struggle with, gosh, I've tried everything. I'm almost playing health whack-a-mole, you know? I tried this protocol and it didn't work. I saw this chiropractor and nothing happened. I can't get to the bottom of why I'm having allergies or gut dysbiosis or what have you, and I don't know what to do next. And so she suggests kind of signaling to your body that you're safe so that your body feels like, okay, I can kind of let my guard down and maybe stop being so alarmist about some things. And maybe you'll heal that way because it worked for Olivia herself. So this is one cool tip that she recommended. And this is going to come out probably in February or something. But she said, literally get outside, scan the horizon, because the ability that you have to do that is something that your body will recognize as meaning you're safe. Like, you'll see, you can even stand there with your palms open, kind of like, there are no threats to me right now. And she said it really kind of lowers your cortisol level and provides a signal to your body that you can heal now because there's nothing threatening you. And she offers a bunch of tips like that. I thought it was fascinating.
I love that. I'm this week, actually tomorrow, I'm doing my first ever Dutch test, like hormone testing,
yes,
blood panel, all that kind of stuff. I've never gotten my hormones tested. So I'm doing that, and then I'll do an episode at towards the beginning of next month where I have a doctor go over all the results with me and talk about like hormone testing and all that. So that's something I'm looking forward to on this show.
Neat.
That's coming up. So Wise Traditions podcast, subscribe to that, and then tell us about your Instagram and where to find you.
Yeah, so I'm Holistic Hilda on Instagram, and I love to do like little shorts and reels and kind of show even behind the scenes on the podcast things that I've learned from it. But then I also put out content on my YouTube channel because I love to add visual content. The Wise Traditions podcast is mostly audio. Sometimes we'll pop something up on the Weston A. Price Foundation's YouTube channel, but mostly it's audio. So I provide complimentary stuff on my YouTube channel, and I'm working on a course about my secrets and some other fun projects. So stay tuned.
Course about secrets for health and wellness or podcasting? Yes.
The six ancestral secrets that we talked about.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Well, Hilda, you are just, it's seriously like bucket list for me to be able to interview you. Thank you so much. I know that this was a long episode, but it like wasn't long enough. There's so much. So like, if you're like, oh, I could just listen to her all day, like me, and there's other things that you want to hear, I promise you she's done an episode on it. She was one of the only podcasts during the pandemic speaking out about the vaccines. Like, it's phenomenal. So you will absolutely love it. Hilda, thank you for coming on The Spillover.
Alex, it's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm so happy every week whenever I hear Hilda's podcast, and it always starts with, "Hi, Hilda here." If you listen to Wise Traditions, then you know that's how she starts every episode. I actually had the most embarrassing, I mean, kind of embarrassing. Maybe she thought it was endearing, but the way that I reached out to her to ask her to come on the show, I was like, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. I love your show. Please come on mine. By the way, I really think that you should be a voiceover actor on children's cartoons. You have the most soothing, like, special voice. I love it so much. She was probably like, what a weirdo. Yes, I'll go on your show just so I can assess what kind of situation you got going on, because it's not normal. I'm just joking. Hilda is the sweetest ever. So thankful that she came on. You've got to check out Wise Traditions. Next week, speaking of, you know, all the things that we have to change with our food and our diet and whatever, and how we've talked a lot about, you know, trying to stay home with your kids the first 3 years. One thing that you guys have been begging me to do is interview somebody on how to afford to stay home and live off of one income. So this has been a huge thing. A lot of people think that it's absolutely not doable if you make under a certain amount of money. I have found a woman that I really, really like and respect and admire, and you will too. And her husband, I believe, makes either $50,000 a year or less. And she does not work. She has multiple children. She stays home to raise them. And she is coming on to talk all about how they do this logistically. What does their budget look like? The ins and outs. I'm asking her, how do your groceries cost? You know, how do you pay bills? All these types of things. How did you decide to become a stay-at-home mom and live off one income? You know, were you always planning to do this? Did something happen that caused you to need to do this life change? So we're going to find out all of her tips and tricks. She's going to get real granular with it and tell us exactly how we can do this and make this change. If this is a season in your life and you'd love to ideally do this, but you just feel like it's not possible, she is here to tell you that it is. So that is next week on The Spillover. New episodes drop every single Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific or midnight Eastern, depending on whatever time zone you're in. Make sure that you leave your 5-star review, subscribe to Real Alex Clark on YouTube. I'm Alex Clark, and this is The Spillover. Love you, mean it. Bye.